Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Critical situation in Durban, interview with 2014 Goldman Environmental Prize winner Desmond Sa. In 2011, Real World Radio participated in a toxic tour in the South Durban Industrial Basin in South Africa, where giant oil transnational corporations were causing an environmental disaster with dangerous consequences for the health of the people. More than 3 years later, the situation seems to be even worse, according to an interview with the coordinator of the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance, Desmond Sa. In an area that could be paradise, with hills and magnificent beaches and a great natural landscape, the oil industry, with corporations like Shell and BP, is leaving its footprint and it is disturbing the life of local communities. Also, factories from other sectors, like the paper industry, end up creating a polluting cocktail, published Real World Radio on December 7, 2011. Desmond Sa, 2014 Goldman Environmental Prize winner, offered us an update of the situation in the south of Durban.
Real World Radio is speaking with Desmond De Sa. He is the coordinator of the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance in the south of Durban, the city from South Africa. Desmond, thank you very much for having this time with Real World Radio.
It's my pleasure.
Desmond, first of all, you have been participating here in this conference called Seeding Climate Justice. What are your main conclusions until now of the activity that happened?
Well, I think it's important, my first visit to Mozambique, but also I think the gathering of the people of Africa is very crucial in our struggle to get equity and to get change, but also to create one Africa and to understand one another's struggles and serious concerns and how we find solutions jointly as Africans. So my visit here was important. I'm excited with the deliberations. I think it was really crucial that the collective voice builds a common struggle and builds a common set of principles that we can send out to the world. And I think that we were able to achieve that. So I'm quite pleased with the deliberations and outcomes that transpired for the last 3 days.
And coming from South Africa, after the events that both countries had in the border, with some killings, some people fighting one to each other, when we are talking about poor people, I think it was an important moment also to share with other African people from another African countries. And talking about that, we had a press conference today in which social movements from all different parts from Africa talk about this issue, Desmond.
I think it's important to note that 90% of the South Africans are not involved in the xenophobia. They are respectful, they treat our African brothers as one nation. I think it's a few and a limited minority that's involved in that xenophobic violence, and I think it's part of it is that our government did not act immediately. I think when this started in 2008, government should have used all the resources we have at their disposal to root out xenophobia in South Africa, knowing fully well that the Africans during the apartheid era had assisted the South Africans for shelter, for education, and to develop a strong resistance to the apartheid system. For me, as a South African, I believe there's no boundary, there should be no borders. I believe that those that are advocating the xenophobic violence should be held accountable. They should be prosecuted, and already I've seen that a number of people have already launched complaints to the Human Rights Commission. So we eagerly await what the Human Rights Commission is going to do to hold these few individuals accountable. I don't think it's the time for the South African government to bring in draconian laws under the disguise of dealing with xenophobia. I think we must be wary and be careful of our government who want to hide behind secrecy laws, hide behind strong arm tactics, because they can then abuse the citizen in South Africa. I think what is needed is calm heads and calm minds and a proper program that can integrate everybody into society. So nobody should be a foreigner, everybody should be Africans or South Africans as such. And the Constitution guarantees that all who live in South Africa are South Africans, irrespective of where they come from. So I think the government has a responsibility to act for them in their interest. But government must not, under this disguise of trying to deal with the xenophobic attacks, bring in strong-arm tactics and bring in strong legislation that will silence the citizens of South Africa. And that's my worry that, because it's clear that whoever started this is well orchestrated. And what's behind that is of concern to us, is that why was it started in the first place? Why did those words come from certain individuals that are well known to government? So instead of government introducing laws and using strong-arm, using the police for security forces, they should go directly to the people that instigated it and by their words and action, and arrest them and bring them to book.
Okay, Desmond. I want to remember that in 2012, during the COP17 in South Africa, as Real World Radio team, we visited South Durban area. We did a toxic tour in the area, and we could see the experience of the people living there and all the consequences of the oil industry and different industries which are present in the area, and in which way the population are facing the problems. 3 years have almost happened and passed after that. What's the situation right now, Desmond, and what about the work of the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance?
Well, the situation is going to get worse. The government has put out a proposal to expand the port, meaning that for the first time post-94, in a democratic society, that black people will be forced out of their homes. And I'm talking about thousands of black people. They're going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their education, they're going to lose their job, they're going to have added burden of cost to provide to come to their workplace, because government wants to expand the port and the logistics around the port. That's the first thing. Second thing, government is talking about expanding the oil industry, with the advent of Operation Pakisa, where they wanted to drill all the way from Mozambique all the way down to the Cape, throughout the ocean, in search for oil. And then they'll expand the oil terminals. And that will have a devastating effect on livelihoods for fisher folks, either by boat or people fishing off the sea. We have over 12,000 subsistence fishermen. They'll all be affected. Government's expansion of the port will lead to the displacement of 16 the loss of the inner city farmers, subsistence farmers, that produce cheap fresh vegetables to the poor people around there. That will all be gone. The industry, the small cooperatives that employ a lot of people, that are community driven, will all be destroyed in the name of imports. So they're bringing the big ships and import more goods from Bangladesh through the sweatshop, China, Pakistan, Europe, and destroy the local economy. So we have a big fight on our hands. At this moment in time, information from the oil industry, from the refineries to get access to their permits has been denied to us. So we are launching, we launched an application in the High Court in Durban to get access to the permits of the oil industry. And government is on the side of the oil industry. So we have a major fight, much more than what we saw before, before the COP. Before the COP, we were fighting high levels of pollution. This time we are fighting that our homes don't get taken away, that the area don't get decayed, that big trucks are not brought near our homes.
According to the project, when would the people be displaced, Desmond?
Government is talking about in the next, so we're looking at about 2018, 2019, that's when the start of the whole process.
In this month?
No.
2018 and 19, okay.
It was supposed to be 2015, but it was delayed for 4 years.
And has the South Durban Community Environmental Alliance kept doing, I remember that you were doing some examinations on water and the air quality. Have you been doing it yet?
Yeah. We've been doing a substantial amount of air quality buckets sampling ourselves. And we find high levels of different chemicals. We have all that evidence. We did water sampling because all the infrastructure in Durban is collapsing. Sanitation, effluent plants are collapsing, all going into the sea. In the last 3 weeks, there's been 320,000 liters of oil into the sea, into the harbor. So we took water sample, we took the factory at a fire burn. And Shell and BP on Friday night last week, another explosion. So these explosions, we had two explosions in 2 weeks.
When was that?
The week before that, the KZN oils, the whole factory burned down 4 o'clock in the morning.
But what year, when was that? I didn't get it.
No, 2015. And then last Friday night at 10 o'clock at night, I was out there because Shell had 4 explosions. And in that explosion, 1 worker died and 2 are serious in hospital.
What corporation did you mention?
Shell and BP refinery.
Shell and BP, okay.
So the explosion and all that, and the pipes, all the oil is spilling into the canal. So we have major challenges, and so taking off samples are important for us to do.
Does it, when you have those examples and samples and those exams and the things that keep happening, explosions. I remember at that time, even students from schools being affected. Does the government say something? What do they do?
The government does nothing because they got shares in some of these oil companies. 20% of shares, government ministers and their families are linked to all that. So government do nothing. The responsibility now is on us to take them up. So we do it in a number of ways. One is that we write up all the press releases, we take all the evidence, we write to government, take them to court. So Monday, when we arrived here, before that, we delivered the papers to the sheriff to deliver it to the oil refinery, both oil refineries. And we serve the papers on them. We're taking them to the High Court in Durban.
I remember also, Desmond, that some of your mates, I don't remember exactly about you, had visited the Netherlands because Shell belongs to the Netherlands, taking the case there. Has happened anything else after that? What about the countries which are the owners of these companies?
I spent 7 years, 6 years in London at the Shell AGM. And providing all the evidence and led to the law reform bill with Friends of the Earth being passed in London, 2006, October. And I went to the AGM in The Hague, and through that pressure, Shell replaced the pipeline, 7 pipelines, 86 kilometers long, but replaced in Durban because you put international pressure. And the sulfur dioxide, the sulfur recovery unit was brought to Durban. There's still more outstanding issues that has to be done by Shell. And they haven't carried that out. I haven't gone back to the AGM. And I think it's time to go back. Probably would have to talk to GB to get us there because we got the share, we still have the share. Go there and then give them hell. Because Shell puts out this policy that they are a responsible company. And in Durban, Shell is destroying everything.
Okay, Desmond, some people could be saying, okay, but who does who do the exams to the water and to the air that they are presenting? Who are the people that do you get those exams done by scientific institutions? Who is doing the exams?
The air quality analyzing is done by an independent company in Johannesburg, which some of the oil companies use themselves. So the results are credited and evaluated and assessed. The water samples are done by the university in Durban, the chemical department, and they do it for us. And so it's all independent. We don't do it ourselves. We just take the samples. and we make sure that the information provided is accurate and correct.
Okay, Desmond. So now you're facing the problem that the local population is about to be displaced from the area. What are the people saying there?
They don't want to go. The one thing about the area is that people have been removed. This will be the third time. From other areas. So they've been removed and removed. So nobody wants to build a life after 8 years old. 8 years old, where are you going to build a life? You don't have the strength as a young person, you know. So people have got families and they built the community for years. And so what's going to happen is that we're going to fight.
Okay. It was Desmond Sa, the coordinator of the Environmental Alliance, South Durban Community Environmental Alliance. Desmond, do you want to add anything else? If not, thank you very much.
Well, just to say that we will localize the struggle, nationalize and internationalize and globalize the struggle. And already we started to work with groups all over the world so that we can have solidarity around these issues. And including in Africa and Mozambique will be a key component. Tanzania, and I'm not sure Kenya, if they're going to build a port there, but I know Mozambique. So we will work together with our brothers in Africa first and foremost, and to defend our rights and not to have these big ports. We want them to change the thinking, the economy, that buying local and developing the local economy is better than bringing in more pollution.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.